Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir, Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, at the end of five lines from the top. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Torah in the parshas of the Nazir uses the words V'kom Mishras Anovim LaYishta. And we had learned in the previous shiur that Rabbi Akiva uses those words to teach us the concept of Heter Mitztaref L'Isser. Heter Mitztaref L'Isser, we explain, means that if there's a shear of kezias, for example, of something one may not eat, even if a person doesn't have a kezias, a whole kezias of the prohibited item, but it's combined together with permitted item, giving the example by a nazir, the isser is for nazir to drink a kezias of wine. But if the nazir doesn't have a full kezias of wine, but he had soaked bread in that wine, and if we combine the bread and the wine, we now do have a kezias. So we learned in the previous year that according to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk teaches us that we are mitztaref hetel isser. In today's year, be'ezer Hashem, we're going to discuss a different concept. The concept of tam ki'ikr. And as the Rishonim explain, tam ki'ikr and heter mitztaref l'isser are two different concepts. Heter mitztaref l'isser, as we just said, involves that we don't have a whole shear of the dover ha'isser. On the other hand, by tam ki'ikr, we do have We did begin with a whole shear of Isser. On the other hand, by tam ki'ikr, we have to at least have a remnant of a taste of the original Isser. And the example, the easiest example to use, and we will discuss this example more in Mirz Hashem in the shear, we certainly all know there's an Isser to cook basa b'chalav, meat and milk together. What would be the halacha if one were to cook a piece of meat in the milk and then remove the entire piece of meat? That milk would remain prohibited because we say tam ki'ikr. The tam of that meat remains in the milk. So even though we actually took out the piece of meat, it still is asur. There is a machloikis Harishonim, if tam ki'ikr throughout Shas, which we will be discussing throughout Halacha, is osur midaraisa or midrabonan. There is also a machloikis and how to understand the concept of tam ki'ikr. Some Rishonim explain, this is the opinion of Rashi, that the tam ki'ikr makes the permitted item or the item that absorbed the prohibited tam obtain the halacha as if it was a piece of isser. Another approach is not that it actually has the ability to convert something which is mutter into something that's asr, but we view as that the Isser remained here. The Heter is Heter. The Isser is Isser. But the Halacha views as if the Isser is still here. And there is a third opinion, that since the Halacha is that it doesn't convert the Isser, the Heter into Isser, therefore to be over and to have the issue of Tam Kicker, going back to another concept we discussed in the previous year, the halacha would be we would need to have it eaten the sheer kezayis b'ktei chilas pras. Otherwise, there is no issa d'oraisa. So begins the Gemara. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya to Rav Dimi, "Memahai dehai mishras? How can we say that the word mishras, which the Torah discussed, which we just mentioned that pasuk, is coming to teach us the concept?" Lehet mitzdarf l'isru d'asur. Dilma, Litein tam kiku dasa. Maybe what it's come to do is teach us the concept that we just discussed of tam kiku. Ask the Gemara. We need to understand what is Abaye saying. And it's interesting. We find this same sugya in Masechta Pesachim. And there Rabbeinu David, a Rishon, explains that this clause of the Gemara that we are now going to learn actually was written by the Rabbanan Savroi. And the Rabbanan Savroi had a difficulty in understanding how does Abaye ask such a question. Mikaruka kashle maidakam revdimi. Yesterday, Abaye found it very difficult to understand what Rav Dimi said, that the het mitzdarful iser concept only applies to nazir. And we learned the shir where Abaye was trying to prove that the concept of het mitzdarful iser should not be limited only to naziris. Obviously, and Abaye asked Rav Dimi all sorts of questions. Hada amalei. And now he says to Dimi, Litin Tam Kiker. Abaye obviously agreed that the pasuk of Mishras teaches us Het Mitzdarf L'Isser. His only difficulty was, why are we limiting it to the din of Nazir? Why don't we expand the concept of Het Mitzdarf L'Isser to all areas of Halacha? And now he's trying to say that the pasuk is coming to teach us the concept of Tam Kiker? Answers the Gemara. Bas de Shonele. Yes. Abaye agreed that Mishras comes to teach us how to Mitzdarf Lisser, asked his questions to Rav Dimi, and Rav Dimi successfully answered those questions. But now says Abaye, to Rav Dimi, maybe I was incorrect. Maybe Dilma Litin Kam Kikahu Dasa. Maybe what the pasuk is teaching us is the concept of Tam Kikah. Lichritanya, as indeed is learned in a Braisa. Mishras, the Braisa says the word Mishras comes to teach us the word Mishras of the pasuk of Chom Mishras Anovim La Yishte comes to teach us Litin Tam Kikah, to teach us this concept of Tam Kikah, to teach us Shimshora Anovim B'mayim. If one were to soak grapes in water, and then he removes the grapes, so all we have now left is the tam of the grape. But yesh by tam yayin, we now have just the tam of the grape. Is the halacha chayiv that the person is chayiv, the nazir is chayiv, as if he ate grapes itself. Umikan atadon. L'kol Isurim Shavitayra. Continues the Braisa in teaching us that once we establish from the word Mishras that there's a concept of Tam Ki'ikah by Naziris, we expand that concept to all areas of Halacha where we apply the concept of Tam Ki'ikah. Ask the Mefarshim, as we discussed also in the previous year, there's a concept of a Halacha of Ein Einshin Min Hadin. We can't use a Kal V'Chomer to give a person a Malkus. And here what we're doing is, we're applying through a Kal V'Chomer, that we're going to learn in a moment, the concept of Tam Kiker to all areas of Halacha. How is that acceptable? And in fact, the Baal Hamor, because of this question, says that all we would accomplish with this Kal V'Chomer is to say that the concept of Tam Ki'ikah applies in all areas of Halacha. But we can't actually give someone an oinish, a punishment, based on this Kal V'Chomer. Other Mefarshim, the Rash, says that this is not to be understood as a Kal V'Chomer. We would have the problem of Ein Einshin Min Hadin, but rather it is to be understood as a Gilui Milsa. The Pasuk by Naziris comes to teach us, the pasuk by Naziris comes to teach us that Tam Ki'ikah is considered a valid concept in Halacha and it should be applied everywhere else. But the Sfasemis says a very lumdish atarets. He says, why is there indeed a Halacha of Ein Einshin Min Hadin? why can't we learn on Einish based on a Kal V'Chomer? Says the Sfas Emes. Because what does the Kal V'Chomer say? That if the din applies in this lenient case, then certainly it ought to apply in a more stringent case. Ein Einshim Nadin then says that maybe, since it's a more stringent case, the Einish that applies, the punishment that applies in the more lenient case, is perhaps too lenient. It's not enough of a punishment to apply in the stringent case, and therefore we don't know what punishment to give in the stringent case. What does Tam Kicker say? Tam Kicker says that the Tam has the same din as the item itself, but Tam cannot be more stringent than the Iker. So once we establish from learning from Hilchus Naziris the concept of Tam Kicker, and that Tam Kicker should be applied to all areas of Halacha, then we could take, says the Sfas Emes, the regular din, and say if by the Iker that's the Halach, the Einish, certainly that ought to be the Einish by the Tam. And how do we learn it? We can't have to don the color Surin Shvetayra. We learn it with the following Kal V'Chomer. Oman Nazir Sheini Suris Oilam. A Nazir is not a permanent Isser. As we've learned, a typical Naziris is only 30 days. Veini Surah Issa Hanoah. A Nazir is not prohibited from having benefit from grape products. As we were going to learn, the halacha is that a Nazir may use grape products to make an Erev Tchumim or Chatzeris on Shabbos on Yontif. If he was not allowed to benefit from grape products, he could not use it to make an Erev. Veini Surah Issa Hanoah. Furthermore, a Nazir is not allowed, is allowed to have a Noah. V'yesh Heti Lissurah. Furthermore, a Nazir's Isser can be permitted. If a Nazir goes to a Chacham, he can have his Neder like all other Nedarim annulled. Still, we say the Pasuk of Mishras teaches us, Asabai Tam Kikr, Kali Akerim, where one planted two different types of seeds together, which has all of these chumras. She is surin Israelim. Klayim are permanently asur. Visurin asur hana, one may not even have benefit from klayim. Then heti lisurin, and there is no way to have this isur released. Einodin, she asked by Tam Kicker. Certainly there we apply the halach of Tam Kicker. Vuadin, la arla. Similarly, arla, we're going to say bishtayim. Two of the halachas that, two of the stringencies that we pointed out by Klayim also exist by Arla. Not all three stringencies, only two stringencies. So Rashi explains, what are the two stringencies that Arla has over Naziris? That Arla is an Issa Hanoah, and the other stringency is that there's no way of releasing the Isser Arla. But Arla, unlike Klayim, says the Gemara, is not an Isser Olam. It's not forever. Because Arla is only for the first 3 years. The fruit of the tree, only the first 3 years is considered Arla, not after that. As Taisus, that pshat is difficult to understand. Because the fruit of the first 3 years remain Osir, remain prohibited forever. The tree was never prohibited. It was only the fruit of the tree that was Osir. So that's why Rabbeinu Tam explains that we're referring here to the fruit of the fourth year. That the halach is the fruit of the fourth year are considered neta ravai, and they are fruits that yesh hetili suram, because the halach is we could redeem those fruits and eat, or they could be taken up to eat in Yerushalayim. And the Mefarshim explain what is the basis of the machloikis between Rashi and Tosfos. They explain the difference between Rashi and Tosfos is that Rashi holds that the Issa Arla is not limited just to the fruit, but the Issa Arla applies even to the tree. And therefore Rashi is correct in saying that this is something that's usur forever, that this is something which is not usur forever. On the other hand, Tosfos, who learns that the Gemara is referring to Netta Revai, obviously holds that Netta Revai is a continuation of Arlo. And therefore the Gemara could use Netta Revai interchangeably with the word Arlo. Rashi obviously holds that Arlo and Netta Revai are very different concepts. There's another pshat in differentiating between Klayim, between and Naziris and Arlo, that the Gemara is saying as follows, say some Rishonim. Arlo, when one plants a tree, he didn't do anything wrong. Yes, the fruit that goes from the tree the first 3 year is prohibited to be eaten, but the actual planting of the tree, there's nothing wrong in doing that. Similarly, in the halacha of Naziris, when one accepted upon himself Naziris, he didn't do anything wrong. On the other hand, by Klayim, actually planting Klayim is considered an Avera. And that's what makes Klayim more Chomer than Arla. There's a very interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yehuda Osad in the Shayas of Tshuvas Yehuda Yala. He says that somebody suggested that even though, as we just said, Arla is also Bahano, perhaps one could use wine made out of Arla grapes for a Dvar Mitzvah. He should be allowed to make Kiddush, Avdolah, Dalit Kaisis on Arla product, because we know there's a concept of Mitzvah Lav Lehenes Nitnu. So when I'm using that wine, it's not for benefit, it's only for Mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yehuda also, that's certainly incorrect. And he uses our Gemara as a proof, because our Gemara said that Arla is an item which is also Bahano. Now, if the halacha were, says Rabbi Yehuda Asad, that one could use Arla wine for mitzvahs, Kiddush, Avdallah, etc., why is the Gemara saying that it's also Bahano? It must be, says Rabbi Yehuda Asad, that Arla is also under all circumstances, even for mitzvah purposes. So we see, as the Gemara, that the pasuk of Mishras comes to teach us the concept of Tam Ki'ikr. How are we saying that Mishras comes to teach us the concept of Hetem Etzdarif L'Isser? Omalei Hum Rabbonin. So one of Rabbonin said to Abaya, Rabbi Avuah Ki Kamar, when Rabbi Avuah said that the pasuk of Mishras is coming to teach us Hetem Etzdarif L'Isser, L'Rabbi Kiva Kamar, he was saying, according to Rabbi Kiva, as the Gemara will now prove, obviously holds that the pasuk is Mishras comes to teach us Hetem Etzdarif L'Isser, because obviously Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the concept of Hetem Etzdarif L'Isser by Naziris. Ask the Gemara, hi Rabbi Kiva, where do we find that Rabbi Kiva indeed holds this way? Ilaim Rabbi Kiva Dehocha, perhaps you say, it's Rabbi Kiva who we learned his opinion in the Mishnah. The Tanan, Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Rabbi Kiva says, Afilu Shara Pita B'Yayin, if somebody said, somebody soaked his bread and wine, V'yesh B'Kedei L'Tzarev Kazayis, and now if we combine the bread and the wine, he has a Kazayis, V'Chayif. So we see why, obviously, because of Hetem Etzdarif L'Isser. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, what makes you say that the reason he's chayiv is because we're going to say Hetem Etzdarif L'Isser Dilma Hu Dika Kazayis Be'ena? Maybe it's referring to a case where he has a kazayis of wine and he doesn't need to rely on the bread to achieve the shear of a kazayis. Says the Gemara, V'chitei Mamai L'Memra, if you're going to say, if that's the case that he has on his own a kazayis of wine, what is the Mishnah teaching us? Obviously, if you have a kazayis of wine, he's going to be chayif. Answers the Gemara, D'lafukim Tanakama. What Rabbi Kiva is trying to teach us is that he disagreed with the Tanakama, that the Tanakama held that the shear for wine is achi yishte revius yayin, that the shear for wine that the nozer is not allowed to drink is revius comes Rabbi Akiva to tell us that the shear is a kazayis. Ask the Chem de Shloima. If we're saying that the point of our Mishnah is to teach us that the shear of wine is a kazayis, not a revius, so why did Rabbi Akiva have to say it in this situation where he soaked the bread in the wine? He could have said straight that the shear of wine that a nazir may not drink is a kazayis. Why did he have to come up with a case of soaking bread and wine? Answers the Chem de Shloima. If the shear were a revius, and somebody would have soaked bread with a revius of wine, we would never have a case that a nazir is chayiv for that case. Because as we said in the previous shear, the shiurim for drinking and the shiurim for eating, according to most Rishonim, are very different shiurim. And therefore, if somebody soaked bread with revius, he could never eat up that bread that soaked up a revius of wine in the shear of drinking the revius. So how do we know, says the Chem de Shloima, how far Rabbi Akiva holds that the shear of another isser of drinking wine is a kazayis? Because Rabbi Akiva says you could have a case where another eats bread and is chayif drinking for wine. It must be because the shear is a kazayis, and therefore you could eat a kazayis of bread because they chilas pras and bichayif. So if that's the point of a Mishnah, just to teach us that the shear is a kazayis, not a revius, from where do we see the Rekiva indeed holds that by Naziris we say hetem etzdarf le'isser? Says the Gemara, el Rekiva de Braisa. We learn it from what Rekiva said in the Braisa. The Tanya Rekiva Omer, Nozer Sheshara Pitoi B'yayin, if Nozer soaked his bread and wine, Voch kazayis mipasa m'yayin, chayiv. If he ate together from the Passover wine, he's chayiv. So the Mefarshim try to understand, how does this Braisa prove more than the Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva holds the concept of Het Metzdarf L'Isser. So one pshat that the Rishonim say is that the wording of the Braisa of Och Kazayis Mipasa Mayayin, so since we combining the Pasa Mayayin, it's obvious that it means hetem etzdarf l'isser. But I saw another pshat. Tosfos says this pshat, and Rashi says it in Masechta Pesachim. It's somewhat a little more complicated. If we look at the wording of this braisa that we just quoted, that this wording could easily be translated, interpreted, to be also teaching us the concept of Tam Kirker. But, say the Rishonim, if that were the case, that Rabbi Akiva and this Braisa were teaching us that we apply the concept of Tam Kirker to Naziris, so why is it only the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? As we began today's shir, even Rabbanon subscribed to the concept of Tam Kirker by Naziris. Yet this braisa represents that it's only the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that it's discussing, not the opinion of the Rabbanon. So obviously the braisa is not teaching us the halacha of Tam Kirker. For if it were teaching us the halacha of Tam Kirker, then even the Rabbanon could have been agreeing to the wording of the braisa. It must be that the braisa is teaching us Hetem Tzarev L'Isser, and it's only Rabbi Akiva who holds Hetem Tzarev L'Isser and not the Rabbanon. Ask the Gemara, Amle Rav Acha, Durei Rav Avila Rav Ashi, Lirba Akiva Dekam Moikim Lahai, Dekam Mishras. According to Rabbi Akiva, it uses the words Dekam Mishras to teach us the concept of Hetem Tzarev L'Isser, Litein Tam Kikim Menole. From where will we know that from where will Rabbi Akiva learn the concept of Tam Kikker? And as the Rishonim point out, who says that Rabbi Akiva holds of the concept of Tam Kikker? So Rishonim answer, if the Rabbanon hold of the concept of Tam Kikker, and it's obvious that Tam Kikker is an easier concept to understand halachically than het mitzdarf l'isser. So if Rabbi Akiva would not have another source to teach us the concept of tam ke'ikar, he would have to use the pasuk of Mishras that's stated by Naziris to teach us the tam ke'ikar concept. For the tam ke'ikar concept is the easier concept to understand. It must be that Rabbi Akiva says that the pasuk Mishras that's stated by Naziris is available to teach us hetem mitzdarf l'isser. It must be that he has another source to teach us the concept of tam ke'ikar. Says the Gemara, Yalef mibos b'cholof. He learns it from the case of Bos b'cholof, the example we gave at the beginning of the shir. If somebody cooked meat in milk and then removed the meat from the milk, still that's considered Bos b'cholof, although all you have left tam b'amahu, all you have left here is just tam, and yet we say tam kicker. There's an interesting shiloh. What would be the halacha if one cooked meat and milk and removed all of the milk and squeezed the milk out of the meat? Would that also be considered a case of tam kicker? Or since the actual milk did go into the meat, we can never be sure that all of the milk is removed, and that will be not necessarily a case of tam kicker, but actually there'll be milk itself. But certainly the example we gave, where one cooked meat and milk and then remove the meat, it's certainly a situation of tam kicker. And that's where Rabbi Akiva learns the halacha of tam kicker. Hachanami loishna, we could apply the concept of tam kicker in all areas of halacha based on the halacha of basa b'cholof. V'rabbonan, the Rabbonan who learned the halacha of tam kicker from the Ziris, why don't they learn it from basa b'cholof? Says the Gemara, Bas B'cholov Lagerminen, they can't learn Tam Kicker from Bas B'cholov to Chiddushu. Bas B'cholov represents a very novel halacha that cannot serve as the source for other rules in halacha. My Chiddushu. Ask the Gemara, what is so unique about the halachas of Bas B'cholov? Ilem the Hailechudei, the Hailechudei Shari. Perhaps you say, meat is a permitted food, kosher meat, milk is a permitted food. Or Bahadi Hadadi Asr, yet when they combined, they're Asr, a very unique concept. So the Mark Knaim Nami, that's not that unique. By Klaim, we also have that concept. Hai Luchudei Shari, Vahai Luchudei Shari, linen itself is mutter, wool by itself is mutter, this animal, one type of animal to work with by itself is mutter, one type of animal to work by itself is mutter, or Bahadadi Hadadi Asr, yet if you combine it, it's Asr. Ella, says the Gemara, the Torah lay kula yarmu b'chalba, if somebody were to soak meat and milk a whole day, it's mutter. On vashle b'shule, but if you cook it, it's asr. The fact that it has to be cooked to be asr is a chiddush. And that's why we can't learn from basa b'cholof to all over halacha. From here, the Paiskim say that we see that soaking meat and milk together is not an isser by Bas B'cholof, but it is an isser in all other areas of halacha. Because if it weren't considered cooking in all areas of halacha, there would be no chiddush by meat and milk. And this is actually the subject of debate. To what degree do we consider in areas of halacha soaking as cooking? It seems that all Paiskim agree that soaking is considered cooking to the degree that it would be the outer level of what was soaked together would be considered cooked if it was soaked for 24 hours together or if it was soaked for less in a sharp item. The Mefarshim also point out that from here we're saying that we can't learn from Bas B'cholov because Bas B'cholov is a Chiddush. But if we analyze the Chiddush that we're discussing by Bas B'cholov, the Chiddush is a Chiddush L'kula, that soaking is not considered cooking. And the Mefarshim say from here we see that when the Gemara wants to point out that something is unique, it doesn't have to be unique L'chumra, It could even be unique l'kula, because we're pointing out that the uniqueness of basar v'chalav is that it has a kula, that something soaked together is not considered cooking. And as we just learned, the primary iser of basar v'chalav is cooking meat and milk together. There's an interesting shaila I saw. Let's say someone has a piece of chocolate and he has a concern, this is a shaila that came up, that this piece of chocolate may have combined in it milk ingredients and animal fat, and he wants to do a laboratory test to ascertain. But doing that test involves cooking the chocolate to remove the proteins or whatever is required to conduct that analysis. Would there be an isser of bishul basar b'chalav? And this really depends on two shailas. There's one shaila we find in Hilchos Shabbos, ein bishul acha bishul. If something is cooked, it can't be cooked again. And the Pesukim discuss regarding basar b'chalav, do we say the concept of ein bishul acha bishul? The Prima Gadim, Rabbi Kiva Eger, say that just like by Hilchos Shabbos, there's a concept of ein bishul acha bishul, so too by basar b'chalav is there a concept of ein bishul acha bishul. However, the Shvus Yaakov disagrees, and he says that ein bishul acha bishul is strictly limited to Hilchos Shabbos. It's not a concept in Hilchos basar b'chalav. One can't recook basar b'chalav. However, the Chabina Rav has a different reason why this analysis through cooking may be done. Chabina Rav says that the entire reason that the Torah said one may not cook basar b'chalav is because it could come to eat it. So don't cook it, because if you cook it, you may come to eat it. But if your purpose in cooking is not to eat it, it's just to conduct this examination, there's no concern of cooking, of eating, there is no iser under such circumstances, says the Chabina Rav of Bishul Basar B'chalav. So, says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Nami Basar B'chalav Chiddushu. Rabbi Kiva obviously agrees that Basar B'chalav is a Chiddush. So Basar B'chalav is a Chiddush, so it can't serve as the source to teach us the halacha of Tam Kikr. So where do we learn the concept of Tam Kikr? Says the Gemara, Ela Yalf Megulev T'Kachavim. We learn it from the halacha of requiring kashering for pats that were used for non-kosher. Dom Rachmana, Kol Dova Shiyava Be'esh, the Torah says after the Melchemes Midyan, that any pats and pans that Klal Yisrael removed from the Midyanim, they had to kosherize. Now what's in the pot? The pots were clean pots. There was only tam of the non-kosher food that was in the pot, and yet it required kashering. The memra, the asira, obviously tam is this. Guli of the chavim. So we see that from the requirement to kasher the pots of non-Jews, laf tam of almahu, isn't it just the issue of taste? And yet asr, Hachnami, so too says Rabbi Kiva, we apply this concept all over halacha and loishna. So that's, according to Rabbi Kiva, the source for tam kikr. Ask the Ramban. The halacha of gulei avdik chavim is not a new halacha. The halacha of gulei avdik chavim is whatever iser was in the pot is asr. In other words, doesn't represent a new iser, it represents a existing iser. Says the Gemara. So before we go further, let's just read the Gemara. Or about a nami typically gulev t'chavim. So ask the Gemara, according to Rabbanon, why don't we learn tamkik from gulev t'chavim? Amalach. So says Amalei. So Ravashi answers, hasam kadoshu. Gulev t'chavim is a chiddush. The Bekala Tarakula and Kala Tarakula, Nois Dam Lubgam is mutter. Nois Dam Lubgam means something that's foul tasting is mutter. A pot that wasn't used for 24 hours, any tam that's in that pot is spoiled. The gavkin chovim, jahir, even though the pots weren't used for 24 hours, yet they required kashering. So if they required kashering, it must be that even though it's a tam pogum, it's still considered tam, which is a specific chiddush to geula of the kachavim, and therefore cannot be used for kol ha-Torah kula. So we go back to our Ramban. How can we say, asked Ramban, that geula akum is considered a chiddush, and all isur, we're not going to say tam kicker, isn't the whole basis of kashering, asked the Ramban, based on all other Yisurim? In other words, the reason to acquire kashering, says the Ramban, is not that the Torah, this is the Havamina of the Ramban, it's not that the Torah says there's a new halacha of kashering. The reason we need to kasher is because the pot has in it a tam of non-kosher meat, the pot has in it a tam of anything else that's osur that the akum might have used for. So obviously, it's not limited to Geulei Akum, says the Ramban. And this Ramban says, answers other questions that we find in Halacha. We are not to understand, says the Ramban, that the reason we have to kasher a pot, very bechidish of the Ramban, is because the pot has in it, for example, an absorption of non-kosher meat, and we're not allowed to eat non-kosher meat. And the guy used this pot to cook non-kosher meat, and therefore the pot is awesome. We are to understand, says the Ramban, that Geulei Akum is a new din altogether. The Torah is mechadish, that if there's a pot that has in it the tam of something osur, it's not the original isser that I'm concerned with. The isser is a new isser, that the pot was used to cook something non-kosher, and therefore the pot requires kashering. And with this, the Ramban answers interesting kasha. The halacha, we know, as we just said, that this halacha of Geulei Akum was only mentioned after the Mechemes Midyan. Asked the Ramban why there was a previous war, the Mechemes Sichon. Why then weren't Klal Yisrael told about the halacha of Geulei Akum? Says, weren't the pots of Sichon also used for non-kosher food? Says the Ramban, according to his teretz, it's very easy to understand. Geulei Akum is a chiddush. It's not related to the original isser that was absorbed in the pot. And that chiddush, the Torah only gave us after the Melchama of Midyan, not after the Melchama of Sichon. In fact, the Meshech Chachma says, now we could understand that Bnei God, the Bnei Ruvein, Chatzis Sheva Menashe, requested that they should have their share in Eretz Sichon, in the Eivor HaNor. And the question that always troubled me was, how did they give up a shear in Eretz Yisrael to take a shear in Eivor HaNor and Eretz Sichon? But according to Ramban, we could understand. Since we see that they were not told that they have to kasher the kelim after they captured Eretz Sichon, they obviously recognize that there's a certain level of Kedusha here that doesn't require kashering even. And that's why they felt that taking a shear in that area would be acceptable. Other Rishonim, of course, take a very different approach, and they say certainly Geulei Akum represents the original Isser, and certainly even after they captured the land of Sichon, they couldn't have just used the pots that were used for non-kosher food. Just the Torah didn't tell them this remedy of kashering until after the war with Midyan. But certainly after the war with Sichon, they were not allowed to use those pots anyway. So the Gemara is saying, we can't bring a raya to the concept of tam kikr from Geulei Akum, because it's a chiddush. It's a nice tam lebegam, and still, it's awesome. So says the Gemara, how could Rabbi Kiva learn from Geulei Akum? Her chiddush isn't a chiddush. The Torah is referring to the case where the pot was used that day. When does absorption, when does something become spoiled? After 24 hours. But the pot that was used that very day, that time is not pogum. The lavnos time of gamhu. And still, and kashering was required because of the time. Rabbanon, so how did Rabbanon answer? Obviously, they had to kasher all pots, even the pots that were used that very day. Says the Gemara, Kedere bas yomin nami, even a pot that was used that very day, yefshaloi pogum aporta, certainly has some pgima already in it. And since it already has a pgima in it, and still required kashering, so we can't bring a raya from here to all areas of halacha, the tam kikr, because there we see that even a tam pogum required kashering. And this Gemara that we just learned, that teaches us the halacha of a tam pogum, is the basis of one of the fundamental halachas in kashering, that if someone has a pot to kasher, he should wait 24 hours. A pot that became non-kosher, one should wait 24 hours before kashering it. There's an interesting machloikis. What would be the halacha, machloikis apoiskim, what would be the halacha if one did not wait 24 hours to kasher, and on purpose went and used the pot, went and used the pot before 24 hours? The Zbachloik is the Prima Godim. The Prima Godim says that that food would be usur, even though the pot wasn't, again, the cases where the pot wasn't used for 24 hours and wasn't kashered. So now the tam that comes out of the pot is a tam pogum. Person purposely did not cash the pot, would that food be osur mutter? A machloikas prima godim, and the shal shachuvas binyan zev, the prima godim says that the food would be osur. The shal shachuvas binyan zev says, since the tam that comes out after 24 hours is a tam pogum, it would be mutter. And this is why we wait 24 hours till we kasher, because there's always a problem, say the rishonim and the paiskim, that when we kasher a pot and all of the tam comes out, why are we not concerned that it gets immediately reabsorbed into the pot? But if we wait for 24 hours to kashering, we don't have this concern, because any tam that comes out is anyway only a tam pogum. Others say that we wait for 24 hours because we're not sure that the kashering will be accomplished properly. And therefore, by waiting 24 hours, where anyway the entire time that's in this pot is only a tam pogum, so there's really a lesser requirement for kashering, and that's why we should wait 24 hours. And this also concept is used for another area in halacha. The halacha is that we need to wait, as we just said, 24 hours, so we should have a tam pogum. Let's say we have a pot that we need to kosherize, and we can't wait 24 hours. We need the pot immediately. So some paiskim, Ramosha, Chazanish, suggest that what one should do is put soap detergent into the pot, boil it that way, and now any absorption that's in the pot is pogum, because it absorbed the soap and the detergent. And now anything that will come out will only be a tam pogum, and we don't have to wait for kashering for 24 hours. Certainly one should try to wait for kashering 24 hours as the halacha requires. So now we have the machlokes of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Kiva. According to Rabbi Kiva, the source for tam kikur is guli akum. The Rabbanon learned it from Nazar. Amleir of achbereid of avilir of ashi. From the Rabbanon nishma Rabbi Kiva. From the opinion of the Rabbanon, we could understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Loi amri Rabbanon. Just like the Rabbanon said, Hai Mishras Litin Tam Kikr, that the word Mishras, which is stated by Naziris, teaches us the Tam, the concept of Tam Kikr, Umikana Tadon Kolis Surin Shvatayra, and then we expand the concept through all areas of Halacha to say Tam Kikr. Says the Gemara, Rekiva Nami, the Kamoikum Loy Lahai Mishras, Lehetim Tzarful Isser. Rekiva, who says that the word Mishras teaches us the concept of Het Tzarful Isser, Why don't we say Lema Mikan at the Don Choli Surin Shbetayru and apply based on this the concept of Hetam Etzdarf Lisser to all areas of Halacha? Amalei responds Rekiva Mishum Navinoz Vechatas based Ksuvim Baam Kechot. We have the pasuk. We have the concept of Hetam Etzdarf Lisser in two areas of Halacha, and there's a rule throughout Shas. Whenever we have the same concept taught twice, it must be that only here is the concept valid, nowhere else. As the Mefarshim explained, for if this was a concept that should be applied universally, why did the Torah have to mention it twice? The Torah should have mentioned it only once, and once the Torah mentioned it once, we can learn from that one place to everywhere else. The fact that the Torah mentions it twice, the Torah is teaching us only where the concept is mentioned is that the halacha, not where the concept is not mentioned. Nazir, how we know hetam etzdarf lisser by nazir, Rabbi Akiva says is as we said hadam moron from the word mishras. Chatas mahi, where do we see the concept of hetam etzdarf lisser by chatas? The Tanya, the Brisa says, the pasuk says regarding the kama chatas. Anything that touches the meat of the chatas should be holy. I would think that even if it didn't absorb, a piece of chatas was put on another piece of meat, but nothing was absorbed. Until the flavor that chatas is combined with the other meat. If the karmel chatas is possible, then the meat that absorbs, or anything that absorbs from the chatos, will be possible. And if it's kosher, it has to be treated like a karmel chatos. And just like a karmel chatos meat can only be eaten l'yoyim v'layla, a day and a night, so too, whatever is combined with the chatos should be eaten only yoyim v'layla. Just like a chatos is only eaten by kohanim, so too, let's say shlomo meat absorbed the taste of chatas. Now the shlomo meat will also be able to be eaten only by kahanim in the place where karmel chatas meat can be eaten. So the obvious question to ask is, why are we saying that this pasuk of chatas teaches us the concept of hetam etzdarf lisser? Maybe it teaches us, and the wording is very leans in that direction very much, the concept of Tam Kicker. So the Rishonim answer. We have, according to Bekiva, one source for Tam Kicker. That's Gula Yakum. According to Bekiva, we have one source for Hetam Etzdarf Lisser, Nazir. Now we have a new source, Chatos. Whatever concept we're going to apply will now be the concept that we have two psukim, and we're going to limit it only to do these two areas. As we said earlier in our shiur, Tam Ki'ikr is a more understandable halakhic concept than Hetam Etzdarf Lisser. So if we're going to need to limit a concept, says Rabbi Akiva, I prefer to limit the concept of Hetam Etzdarf Lisser and say that it only applies by Nazir and Chatos versus saying it to Tam Ki'ikr and leave Tam Kicker with only one source of Guli Akum and be able to apply it to all areas of Halacha. Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, why do they reject the concept of Hetam Etzdarf Lisser? Why can't Chatos serve as a source to teach us that din? Tzrichi. Rabbanan said we can't rely one from the other. Dikas Rachmana Gaba Chatos, if the Torah only would have said Tam Ki'ikr by Chatas, have mina nazir loyos minei. We can't learn nazir from Chatas because mishum the nazir mekachim loyapinim. Nazir, we can't learn from kachim. I asked Mefarshim, we've so many times compared nazir to kachim. Beishame says the naziris betos is considered a naziris because kachim betos are considered kachim. Answer the Mefarshim. That's referring to the halois of Naziris, becoming a Nazir. But the actual halachos of Naziris are not kachim and can't be learned from kachim. Because Rechmana Gabi Nazir, if the Torah had only written it by Nazir, having minim and Nazir lo yapilin, we can't learn chatos from Nazir. Shum dechami suri. Nazir is a very stringent issur. The fil chartz nasalei, even pits, which are typically non-edible, are also to Nazir. Hilchach le'asim enei. Therefore, we can't learn from Nazir alone, and we have to learn it from a concept, from a combination of chatos and Nazir. Rabbi Kiva, who does say that we could have learned from the other, why do we need two psukim? Correct. If the Torah only had written tam, I had to be starved listen by chatos, we cannot learn nazir from chatos. The chul mekatsim legamrinin. A lichter rechmana by nazir. Why doesn't the Torah just mention it by nazir? And we can learn chatos from nazir. The kol esur shem Torah could gamrin min nazir. Nazir according to Rabbi Kiva is not unique. We just said that it is unique that even a chartzon is also to a nazir. Says the Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Kiva holds that's part of the hilchos naziris. Just like one wouldn't say that a nazir not taking a haircut is a chumrah. That's naziris. This is also naziris. Rabbanan amrilach chatos lehetem mitzarf lissa. So Rabbanan now say by chatos we indeed will know hetem mitzarf lissa. The chul mekachim legaminin, but will be a halacha that's only applicable to chatos. Umishris comes to teach us litin tam kicker, and we cannot have done the kol esurin shebetayra. Rabbi Kiva, according to Rabbi Kiva, tavayu lehetem mitzarf lissa. Both psukim, chatos and nazir, teach us the concept of hetem mitzarf lissa. We have therefore a situation of shnei ksumim b'ayim keechod, because shnei ksumim b'ayim keechod ein melamdim. So to summarize the Gemara, everybody agrees that tam ke'ikar applies to all areas of halacha. According to Rabbanu, we learn it from Naziris. According to Rekiva, we learn it from Geulei Akum. Hetem mitzarf l'iser, everybody agrees, applies to chatos. According to Rekiva, it also applies to Nazir. And according to Rabbanu, it doesn't apply to anywhere else, except to the areas that we identified in the previous year by chametz and sa'or being burnt on the mizbeach. Amalei Rav Asher Rav Kahana, Elohad Tanya, because she asked megefen hayayin. We learned that the pasuk limud al suri nazir, because she asked megefen hayayin, to teach us limud al suri nazir, shemit star from zem zeh, different products that a nazir may not eat, combined. Ask them, why do we need a pasuk to teach us that? Little Kiva has to yeshloima heter mitzarf lesser. If according to Kiva, heter is mitzarf lesser, bread and wine combined, isel isem aboy. Why do we need a separate pasuk to tell us a different isurim combined? I'm like heter is bebas achas. In order to eat, to be over for heter mitzarf lesser, they had to be eaten at the very same time. And if not, even if Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the concept by the zeres of hetem mitzarf l'isser, he would not be chayiv. Isser l'isser, afil b'zechazeh, but isser and isser combined, as long as they're eaten in the time of kedai achilas pras. Ask the Gemara one more question. Rav Shimon, the less late seref, Rav Shimon, who doesn't need a pasuk to teach us the concept of seref, because according to Shimon, Yechayiv Malkus, even for the most minute amount of wine that was drunk, Mikola Shiyasa, my darsh base. So, why does he need this pasuk to teach us? Amalach, Homi Baile, La'olam, and Anazir, to teach us the concept that Rabbi Shimon taught us on Daf Gimel Mebeis, that a person cannot is not a Nazir, at Shiyaz Makulan. That if one accepts upon himself only one area of one din of Naziris, he's not going to be considered a Nazir until he accepts upon himself all of the Hilchas Naziris, Mikol Ashiyasa. He has to accept all of the Halachas. That's what Rabbi Shimon learns from this pasuk. Just to end the shir, the Tver Shloima says, we just finished learning, everybody agrees that in all areas of Halach we say Tam Ke'ikar. Says the Tver Shloima, what does Tam Ke'ikar mean? Tam Ke'ikar means that when one does a mitzvah, it's not just enough to do the mitzvah, to go through the rote of doing the mitzvah, but tam, to understand the mitzvah, and to enjoy the mitzvah, and to have the proper kavana in doing the mitzvah, tam ki ikar, that is the ikar in the performance of mitzvahs.